Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come
aboard. Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-Hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio Studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Peoria to Pinehurst, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, hey, you're on the air.
Hey, listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A., everything.
And as always, we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, guess what? Rocket can.
You know you did, Damon.
Thanks so much for being with us. We are glad to be here. Good day off for me. A little day of rest and relaxation, put on the IR, just a day-to-day sprain of the throat. Now we are back. We are ready to roll, and a good show lined up for you today. Coming up in about a couple of hours from now, 3 hours from now to be exact, leading off hour number 4, Brian Jones is going to join us. Our good old friend, Brian Jones from College Football Today, the SEC on CBS, formerly of CBS Sports Radio. We'll talk some college football with him. Such an interesting highlighted game this weekend in the SEC as Texas A&M travels to Arkansas. How often do you see the network executives choose the Razorbacks as a premier destination to that SEC on CBS window? But indeed, the Razorbacks have something going. Head coach Sam Pittman has had a couple of really important wins already this season. The Texas game, as the Longhorns went to Fayetteville and got stomped on, was a welcome to the SEC soon moment for the Longhorns. So we'll talk about that with Brian Jones coming up here, hour number 4. Also this morning on the show, speaking of college football, we'll do plenty of it. Is BYU a college football playoff party crasher? We'll do that this hour. In Miami, Board of Trustees is already being asked whether there's going to be a coaching change with Manny Diaz. And there was supposed to be a meeting of the minds for an expanded 12-team college football playoff. That got delayed yesterday. What does that mean? We'll all talk about that this morning. In the NFL, Tom Brady's dad has some choice words for the New England Patriots. The Jets are 0-2, and one of their younger fans has one of the best breakdowns ever. Urban Meyer already taking heat in Jacksonville. How long does he have to get this thing sorted out with the Jaguars? And the NFL's home field advantage continues to dissipate and erode. We'll tell you why coming up here on the show, important for gambling purposes. All of that this morning here on the Dot. We are back in studio in New York City, ready to go. I had such a wonderful trip to Boise, Idaho, but also good to see the really bright and cheery smiling faces of the newsroom here inside CBS Sports Radio's home in Manhattan. We begin in Chicago, where the Chicago Bears have no choice to make. We know that for weeks, maybe even months, there's been a debate over whether Andy Dalton should get the start, whether he should begin the season as the starter, whether Justin Fields has done enough to earn that spot. Well, Andy Dalton is out with an injury, and so now in week number three, Justin Fields is going to get that start that so many fans and media around Chicago have been clamoring for. The question is, this was probably earlier than Matt Nagy and that coaching staff was hoping for as the Bears travel to Cleveland to take on the Browns, a good Browns team. With Justin Fields getting this start, it might be earlier than anticipated because of the injury, but does it mean that this is it, that Justin Fields is now the starter forevermore in Chicago, and that Andy Dalton just, quote, lost his job due to injury, which is never supposed to happen to veterans? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
He's a young man with great talent, but also he's built to be a great teammate, and he's also got the approach that he's constantly looking at working to improve. So not surprised at all. He's a guy that certainly can bring, you know, what he brought to Columbus was an outstanding passing and rushing threat, and he's got a lot of tools that he potentially brings to the Chicago Bears in the NFL.
I've been preparing for this moment a long time, so my mindset hasn't changed. I'm still going to, you know, play like football and just prepare the best I can, like I said before, and just, you know, get a lot of practice reps in and just study, and, you know, just get more comfortable and more confident with the plays.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So the first voice you heard there was the voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels, who joined us earlier in the summer a couple of weeks ago during our Sounds of Saturday series. And he was talking very glowingly about Justin Fields' potential as a starting quarterback in the NFL. You heard some of that there. And then the thing about Fields that people love in Chicago, and I think the coaching staff loves as well, is that he's so even-keeled, he's so even-tempered, and that makes them confident that giving him a lot early, maybe earlier than expected, is not going to be too much. And I would agree with that assessment. I think one of the big things when you give rookie quarterbacks a lot of responsibility early is, are they overwhelmed? And by overwhelmed, will they develop bad habits or get themselves put into bad situations, which could then blow them up even more? And I mean that in a bad way. And that's one of the reasons why when you point to Peyton Manning, well, he started really early, week number one of his rookie season, he was fine. Troy Aikman, bad team, week number one, he started early, he was fine. You have to realize not all rookie quarterbacks are built the same, and Pete Prisco and I have gone back and forth about this and argued about this on the air, and I believe not everybody is wired like Peyton Manning or Troy Aikman, and you've got to make sure you're coaching to them as well and putting them in the right spot. I'm certainly not saying Justin Fields is the next Peyton Manning or Troy Aikman, but what I am saying is his demeanor suggests you can't overwhelm him. And that's half the battle in putting a rookie QB out there. I think Justin Herbert was a good example of this last year. That was earlier than they wanted to do it because Tyrod Taylor had his lung punctured by the team doctors. However, his demeanor would suggest you're not going to overwhelm him. And look at how successful he was. That's not everybody, but for Fields, it was. I think you just have to look back to the guy that preceded Justin Fields as the franchise drafted QB and Mitch Trubisky to see a guy who was overwhelmed, to see a guy who was given too much too soon. And that's the first part that if you're a Bears fan, you like. You're not supposed to lose your job due to injury as a veteran QB. And Dalton's been around the block many, many times. In this case, I think he definitely could. Now, we can't see a crystal ball. We have no idea how Justin Fields looks. if Fields comes out on Sunday and throws three interceptions, if he has a couple of bad games and he really looks like he's out of sorts, and Dalton is then back healthy again, Matt Nagy could go back to Andy Dalton. That is not off the table. He could go back to Dalton and say, look, the original plan was that we wanted to give Justin Fields more time. He was thrown in there due to emergency, and we had to break glass in case of the emergency. But remember this. They didn't have to give this start to Justin Fields. They could have given the start to Nick Foles. They didn't. And that tells me that they feel as though he can do this, that he's okay and ready. And so then they don't have much expectation that they'll have to give the job back. Isn't it amazing, talking about Justin Herbert, that Andy Dalton may have been signed to the offseason to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, something that he was desperately looking for, QB1, if you will, and that he would have gotten two games, two starts, didn't even get to finish his second game, and then that would be it. He'd be out of that job now after two games, and Tyrod Taylor lost a job last year after one game. Pretty crazy how quickly things can flip on veteran QBs of the NFL. But look, I think we all know that when you see the young guys like Herbert, like Mahomes, and you see Lamar Jackson and others, Josh Allen, pick it up pretty quickly and their teams have success pretty quickly, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, teams don't want to wait around anymore. GMs can't wait around anymore. Coaches don't want to wait around anymore. What all of these guys, these young QBs that came in and had success early, are telling other front offices and coaches is that it can be done. That rookie QBs, young quarterbacks can come in, look the part, do well, and you don't have to wait. And I think that there's a reason for that. I think the reason for that, and I've explained this a couple of times on the show in my estimation, is that quarterbacks are getting coached better earlier than ever before. That by the time you're 13 or 14 years old, if you've been established as the best quarterback in your district, your region, your state, certainly, you're getting invited to really good camps. You're around really good coaching outside of just your high school coach. A lot of people already know about you. You can study your own film by watching YouTube, even if you don't think 13 or 14 year olds do that. Certainly 16 and 17 year olds do that. And young QBs are more mature than ever in terms of their advancement. Now, emotionally, who knows? That's up for debate. But in terms of their physical gifts and their sophistication around the sport and the position, they get it earlier than ever before. So a Justin Fields, a Justin Herbert, the guys that we're talking about, if they've been established as, hey, this guy's going to be a really good QB, they're getting coaching in freshman, sophomore year of high school that their predecessors, earlier generations, didn't get until they were maybe late in college or the NFL. And that's why a lot of young guys come in and they're like, boom, we're ready to go here. Whereas years ago, that was very much few and far between. Fields going to get that start this weekend in Cleveland against the Browns. We shall see how the beginning of the Justin Fields era goes. Hit me up on Twitter. Follow me and tweet at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. So the Mraz update is that Danielle, they thought her water broke, but it didn't, I believe. Is that the case here? I don't see Mraz, and so I know he's at home. So, Mraz, give us the play-by-play here. What are we waiting on here for you?
Well, so to not get too graphic, yes, we thought that was the case. It turns out it was not the case.
Okay.
We are basically on a doctor's checkup, I'd call it every 12 hours or so. Use the word dilation. That's what you wait for, which is the, almost like a running back finding a hole.
Okay.
That is basically that should be happening at some point. That is not happening. That is the holdup right here in contract talks with the new child. So I am home. I am a mere stone's throw away from the hospital I'd have to get to. The thought process being, I mean, this could be an hour. Maybe this is another week. But it's so close that a 2-2.5 hour trip home in traffic from New York City could be the difference in me seeing my baby at this point, knowing it's that close.
But you were willing to be in Boise, so.
I was. I got to be honest with you. The other night when we thought the water broke, I got excited. I told Bogus this. So I think I need to stop being such a grump about this and embrace what's about to come. I'm going to be happy now.
So right now, contract could get done any day, or there could be a delay, maybe another week. It's a day-to-day, hour-to-hour situation based on the two parties.
I can't imagine it's another week. We've also hit the point now where Danielle literally feels as if she cannot walk, and they encourage walking at the end. Her legs have become jello, I've been told, and she just cannot move. Mm. So I didn't have this happen the first time. So I think we're on a bed rest situation. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. I need the baby to come.
Danielle is at home, though. You're both at home.
We are both at home. Correct. That's where we are at in these negotiations.
So it's possible today, my first day back in the New York City studios, that at some point you just got to pull the plug and you skip out and you got to drive her to the hospital during the show today.
Exactly. So this is a scenario where if there's any family members listening, it'll be very hard to hide the fact that we've taken off to the hospital. If you don't see or hear me on the show at any point, I mean, she could come yelling down the stairs in the middle of a DA segment, and we could have that live on Twitch that the water is broken. That is all in play here if you want to be a viewer on the DA show.
How exciting. Watch for. So the water hasn't broken.
Has not.
Okay.
Now, do your own math there. Was that a number one situation where she can't control herself? I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, that my.
That's what I'm saying.
Doctor.
I don't know what it ended up to, but bottom line is this. This has now become aggravating because it's just a way. Like, the doctor has no answer.
I thought you just said you were going to be positive.
I am positive, but it's still aggravating, DA, when a doctor basically tells you can leave here and this could be 20 minutes from now. Well, what does that mean? I'm still here. It's still a waiting game. I'm looking at my phone every hour while I'm in bed going, is it here? Is it here? Is it here? This is weird.
Okay. So this is a great reason to watch the simulcast at watchda.com or on Twitch. And yes, we will sell ourselves to the devil just to make sure that you watch this show. You can watch to see if Danielle goes into labor sometime today during the show. And remember that one time she threw the laundry basket down the stairs at you?
Oh, yes, I remember.
Is that what? How is she going to signal we got to go, Mraz? Is it? Well, I know she doesn't call you Mraz. is she going to throw a laundry basket down the stairs? Is she going to just scream from the bedroom? How does she get your attention?
So it's a great point. I don't know because we've never been in a center where I've been working downstairs when she's had a baby. So it could be as simple as she has the wherewithal to text me, hey, next break, get up here, we got to go. Or it could be a barreling down the stairs, Sean, here we go, it's time to roll. So I don't know. Bottom line is this, if we got to barrel down the stairs, I'm going to try to pivot the computer and at least give Cap a little something to work with here as we head off to the hospital.
Cap in our G-chat just said, labor cam could be huge for ratings. We've had cake cam. We've had hot dog cam.
Wing cam.
We've had wing cam. And now we could have labor cam. Okay, so we're on the clock right now. Danielle is 15 minutes at the podium before she's got to get her pick in. We're on baby watch this morning. When we come back here on the show, your best audio of the day. Doc Rivers, I'm so glad we've got this clip here for a sound check because I've got a lot of thoughts on Doc Rivers trying to lie his way out of the damage control that he needs to do after what he said about Ben Simmons during the summer after the playoff loss. We'll get to that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Remember, you can listen to the DA show in podcast form. Simply check out our Best Of podcast or the full 4 hours of the podcast. It's DA On Demand. Each and every day, just by searching The DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. We begin in Indianapolis, where Frank Reich says if Carson Wentz can't go, Jacob Eason is next up.
We got a lot of confidence, right, in every man on this roster. If Jacob has to play, then Jacob will be ready. So I think Jacob's been doing a really good job. He's been really dialed in. Scott Milanovic, our quarterback coach, has really spent a lot of time with Jacob all through training camp, but even here in these first couple weeks, you know, preparing Jacob just like he's playing. So if called upon, I'm confident that Jacob will do a nice job.
What an absolute disaster in Colts land. Indianapolis came into the season as one of the more balanced and complete teams in the AFC, assuming they could get some legitimate quarterbacking. They begin the season 0-2, two very difficult games, but both at home. Seahawks and Rams both get them. They've got at Tennessee this weekend, at the Dolphins after that, at the Ravens after that. And now Carson Wentz is done. He has two sprained ankles. Already the injury-prone Carson Wentz cannot get back on the field. And you are staring at a potential 0-5 start, which would absolutely sink the season. Even in a 17-game schedule, where there's at least one more game to try to pick up the pieces, Jacob Eason and this next roll of the dice with these three games at Tennessee, at Miami, at Baltimore, and you're 0-2, it's worst case scenario. And you find me somebody who's confident that Carson Wentz is going to end up having a successful NFL career, because I can't find him, and I certainly don't feel that way anymore either. Wentz was phenomenal in that MVP caliber season 2017 for the Eagles. He certainly had showed plenty of promise as a young QB to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But time is ticking, and if you can't stay on the football field, you're not worth a damn. It's just the truth. You're not. And it's not like when he was on the football field, he was killing it for Indianapolis yet this season either. So much like Tua, you're not worth much unless you can actually be out there playing. And for Carson Wentz right now, he is dug himself and that franchise a deep hole, 0-2, and he's injured. The schedule makers were unkind. It gets easier later on in the season, but these first five, brutal for the Colts. You know, and I know, that Doc Rivers, at the end of that Hawks series, when Ben Simmons refused to go up for the layup and refused to shoot for the outside and couldn't hit a free throw, you know and I know that after that game, when Doc Rivers was asked, do you think Ben Simmons can be a championship point guard? Can you win a championship with him? You know and I know that Doc Rivers basically said, I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't know. Absolutely dousing any optimism that we thought that maybe his head coach would have had. And now Doc is going above and beyond trying to repair the relationship by basically lying about what he said and suggesting, I never ever questioned Ben Simmons.
I just love how he plays. I love a lot of the things that he does for our team. You know, unfortunately, we focus so much on his offense and we don't focus on a lot of the other things he does. Ben's been under a lot of pressure in Philadelphia. We know that. Having said that, we were one game away from the Eastern Finals. Last year, no one picked us. No one picked us to be where we were at. And so I look at last year as the first step, not the last step. But we have to go through all this to get them back. There's no doubt about that.
Look, here's the deal, is that the Philadelphia 76ers, after last season, did not have a lot of optimism towards Ben Simmons. Why would they? Like crap in that series. And probably Joel Embiid is frustrated, and probably Daryl Morey's frustrated, and probably Doc Rivers is frustrated. And they said, you know what? Time is up here. Okay? That's the reality. And after that game, after that brutal loss to the Hawks, it was on Front Street. I mean, Ben Simmons was scared in that spot to shoot. And when Doc Rivers was asked in the moment whether they can win a championship with that guy after that performance, he was honest. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It certainly wasn't a definitive, oh, we love him around here. He does so many great things. We can win with him. It was absolutely not that. And now Doc Rivers has the gall to tell Jay Williams, that's not what I said. You got the quote wrong. No, the quote's right. That's what you said. You cast major doubt on whether you could win with Ben Simmons, and that was truthful and that was honest. But because they didn't get the asking price they wanted in the offseason, and now that Rich Paul, Ben Simmons' agent, is saying he's not going to report, now there's a holdout, and the Sixers can't get anything close to what they want back in return, and so they've got to try to salvage it so that if he does come back, they can have some type of healthy working relationship. But even if he doesn't, that they can get more on the trade block for him so that people don't assume that he'll never play in Philadelphia again. The fact that Doc Rivers had to specifically cite Rich Paul as, well, Rich Paul knows what I meant, tells you all you need to know. And Ben is a liability. He is. He's a three-time All-Star with a great defensive instinct and great wingspan and all of that. But he's a liability in an NBA that is more offensive than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. Far more offensive. And Doc had the gall yesterday also to tell Jay Williams, well, you know what? Ben Wallace was really important for the Pistons to win a championship. And Dennis Rodman was really important for the Bulls to win championships. Dude, you cannot compare your point guard to Ben Wallace and Dennis Rodman. Those guys never touched the basketball. Those guys could bring all of their value by playing defense and rebounding and enforcing and all of that. Ben Simmons can't bring all of that value because he actually literally has to touch the basketball on most, if not all, possessions. He's a point freaking guard. But there's not a hole offensively to have Ben Wallace as a center. It's not a hole offensively when you have Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen for Dennis Rodman to be, you know, a power forward and gobble up rebounds. It is absolutely a liability when one of your backcourt players is compared to Ben Wallace, who was one of the most limited offensive players in the NBA. So that also is completely disingenuous. Completely. Oh, we can win a title with Ben Simmons. I mean, look at Ben Wallace and Dennis Rodman. That's a terrible comparison for a point guard. And finally, Deion Sanders on his 21st and Prime podcast on the rumors that he could end up at USC.
Reggie Bush says that Deion Sanders would be the perfect coach for the USC Trojans. Did you read anything about that, Rome?
I'm the perfect coach for Jackson State.
I was talking to Rome. I'm
the perfect coach for where I am.
I just was asking Rome a question. I mean, did you see what I saw, Rome? And then the Florida State, did you see what I saw, Rome?
I didn't see that. That is jarring information, but I believe Coach that he likes where he's at Jackson State.
Yes, I do.
Oh,
I love it. You know why I love it? Because I made a decision to come. I wasn't forced. I wasn't coerced. It wasn't no gun being held to my head. I brought my kids. That means I'm all in, and I'm happy.
I wasn't coerced.
No gun held in my head. I wasn't coerced. Yeah, slightly premature. Reggie Bush can say what he wants. Deion Sanders is not qualified to coach USC. That's for damn sure. A year and change at Jackson State is certainly not ready for USC. And I talked about this last week with FSU. I don't think he's ready for FSU either, although Mike Norvell might not be ready for FSU either. But USC, yeah, I don't think so, man. Like, when you have guys like James Franklin and Luke Fickell and Matt Campbell who have won for years in the Power Five, or at least in Luke Fickell's case, a Group of Five team that's playing like a Power Five, those are the types of guys USC should be going after. Deion, no. And, I mean, look, I don't know why it's quite news if Reggie Bush says it. I mean, I guess because he's a USC guy and a supposed analyst, but it's not like it's being reported from the LA Times that USC is considering Deion Sanders. He shouldn't be considered, and he's absolutely not being considered. Now, if he wins at Jackson State for a couple of years, even 2 or 3 years, I mean, not long, and a Power Five school wants to hire him, totally makes sense. Yeah, that's totally on the table. But you don't jump from a year and a month at FCS to the USC job, no matter what your name is. And that's your sound check. All right, standing by with our headline this morning is a kind sir, Mr. Andrew Bogish. Bogues, good morning. As we're on baby watch for Mraz, what was the sign from the bullpen or from the pitching coach that Katie gave you when it was ready, the bun was coming out of the oven? What did she do to get your attention?
So I'm trying to remember now. Can you guys hear me?
You're coming in a little hot, but we can hear you.
Is this any better right now? I don't know what's going on.
That's much better.
Fixed it. Okay. So the first, with my daughter, we had a scheduled appointment. So we went to the hospital actually on a second time. Went once. The medicine didn't take. They sent us home, waited a couple of days, went back. And again, we were induced and away we went. So we had no contractions, no water breaking the first time. The second time, again, nothing dramatic. She just all of a sudden said, I think it's time to go. So we went. But I was kind of, I think, selfishly hoping for that. And maybe it doesn't really happen like this in real life. Like the very dramatic TV moment where there's just like a gush of water onto the floor, or like screaming contraction in the back of a cab. None of that crazy stuff happened. We were pretty, which is why I think we had two very easy's not the right word, but we had two pregnancies that went very well. There were no complications, no mega symptoms, no bad stuff, no bed rest, no nothing like that. My wife loved being pregnant, which probably is making a handful of female listeners angry right now. But so I don't have a good story, unfortunately, for either one of my kids being born.
Oh man, I was hoping for something dramatic, like, you know, you were downstairs and she threw like a clock downstairs or at your head or something like that.
No, she's not really a clock throwing lady in general, and even this didn't warrant that. I mean,
or
really,
some type of a yelp, some type of "My God, it's coming, Andrew, get the car," or something like this.
No. The only story is, again, we were, for our first daughter, she was being induced, so we had an appointment to go to the hospital at a particular time, and nothing happened before that. No contractions, no nothing. So we went to the hospital, like, to have a kid, had all our stuff with us. I had taken off from work because I knew the day was coming, and they give you like a series of medications, and the first one didn't start the process, and they did not want to force it if they didn't have to, so they sent us home. So we were there for a couple, you know, overnight. The next morning, like, you know, this is not going to happen, and we don't want to make, you know, if we continue to push and it doesn't happen naturally, then we have to have like C-section and stuff like that. We don't want to do that, so just go home, we'll see what happens. And if there's no baby naturally in 3 days, we'll come back and do it again. And we went back and did it again. And this time everything worked the way it was supposed to.
So it was a business trip for you guys. Got it.
Mean,
you guys came off the plane in suits and your briefcases into the hospital.
But then the game was rained out. It was a weird trip. Yeah.
Well, right now, if you're watching at watchda.com, Cap has put up baby watch graphics. Okay, it says breaking news on the bottom, kind of like a cable news channel ticker. Meraz Baby Watch 2021 special report, and there's an icon in the corner that says live, and there's a baby on that graphic. So, so we have
is Aiden outside Sean's house interviewing people as they watch the birth from the
jumbotron. Yeah, yeah, he's in the diaper district. All right, kind sir, Andrew Bogish has our headlines. What do we got?
That's all sponsored by 5-Hour Energy. It's the one when you got to get stuff done. Drink it in seconds, feel it in minutes, last for hours, tastes great too. 5-Hour Energy. Andy Dalton and Justin Fields, not the only QBs in the news yesterday. The Dolphins have officially diagnosed Tua Tagovailoa with broken ribs, so he will not face the Raiders Sunday. His head coach, Brian Flores.
Obviously, he's in a lot of pain, so he'll be out this week. Jacoby will start. And we're just going to take it week to week, really, you know, let's call it day to day and week to week.
So, yes, it'll be Jacoby Brissett against Derek Carr Sunday. The Raider QB had an ankle issue but practiced fully yesterday, and John Gruden said Carr is good to go. Ben Roethlisberger trying to be good to go despite his pec injury.
I don't know how it happened. I just know it happened early in the game, and I'm going
to
do everything I can.
To play Sunday against the Bengals. And for those of us that were homesick yesterday, had a very interesting debate, DA, about left versus right pec muscles. Why are they different? Why does it matter? But it is the left pec that is Big Ben's issue.
Okay.
And then we have Texans rookie QB Davis Mills. He starts tonight against the Panthers with Tyrod Taylor on IR with his hamstring injury. It is the second time in 3 weeks the Panthers D faces a rookie making his first career start. The NBA world stunned to a news by the T-Wolves firing President of Basketball Operations Gersan Rosas yesterday with training camp about to open. There was reported tension throughout the front office, and new owners Mark Lurie and A-Rod didn't want to keep Rosas around. Warriors owner Joe Lacob fined $50,000 for tampering earlier this month. Lacob explained why his team probably wouldn't be interested in a Ben Simmons trade. Talking about acquiring or not acquiring players on other teams is not allowed. The Houston Astros, that much closer now to winning the AL West.
Here's the 2-1. And he rips this one down the left field line. That's a base hit. That's going to roll to the corner. McCormick will score easily. They're going to send Myers. Here's a relay throw, and he's safe. Altuve scampers into third base. It's a two-run double. The Astros lead 8-5.
That's Robert Ford on Astros Radio. Houston in the process of scoring 4 in the 12th for a 9-5 win in Anaheim. That drops their magic number for the division down to 3. The Yankees have the second AL wild card this morning because they rallied past the Rangers 7-3 after the Jays lost in Tampa 7-1 in the afternoon. The Red Sox lead the wild card chase with a 2-game cushion on those Yanks after thumping the Mets 12-5. The Giants outscored the Padres 8-6. The Dodgers losing in Denver 10-5. Atlanta took care of Arizona 9-2, and the Cardinals rolled through Milwaukee 10-2 for an 11-game win streak. The NHL has found no evidence that Sharks forward Evander Kane bet on his games or in any way influenced outcomes of games he was playing in. The league going as far as saying their evidence and research call into question the allegations from Kane's estranged wife, who did not meet with investigators. And MLS last night, the Seattle Sounders losing to Mexico's Club Leon 3-2 in the League's Cup final in Vegas. DA, back to you.
We'll talk more about that Evander Kane story coming up here on the show. It's like, yeah, we found no evidence that he gambled on his own games. There is ample evidence he's a degenerate gambler and has major gambling debt all across the country. But we just don't know that it happened in the NHL. When we come back on the show, people are talking about Cincinnati as a potential party crasher outside of the Power Five. But I think, in fact, there's a better candidate for that and a pretty strong one, in fact. We'll do that next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The DA Show is available on your smart speaker. Tell it to play CBS Sports Radio each and every morning. Get your day started with us. Yes. Tell your smart speaker it's CBS Sports Radio by Odyssey. And you can check us out and get ready for your day by listening to us around your house. So, the Cincinnati Bearcats are a legitimately very good team, okay? They are totally legit. They just went to Indiana and won that game 38-24 and really didn't have a great day doing it. So you know that coming out of last season, Cincinnati is a Group of Five school that's now being invited to a Power Five conference for the time being, the Big 12, and is getting a lot of respect around the nation. They're a top 10 team. And the Bearcats are literally a potential party crasher if they keep this up. No doubt about it. They don't have to prove anything to anybody this year in terms of being a really good program, and they've already built a top 10 reputation. So if they go undefeated and they win the American, then you can't imagine them being outside the top 10. And if you're in the top 10, undefeated conference champion in the Group of Five, and you have some losses in front of you, well, you can dream. You know, UCF was dreaming a couple of years ago, didn't end up happening. TCU before the Big 12, I believe, if they were still outside of the Big 12, if I'm not mistaken, were dreaming as well. Boise State's always had those dreams also. Hasn't come to fruition. We have not seen a Group of Five make the college football playoff. Cincinnati would appear to be the best shot at this. And coming up after today's or this week's bye week, they will travel to Notre Dame to take on the Irish. Look, if Cincinnati ends the season with an undefeated schedule, a conference championship, and wins at Indiana and at Notre Dame, you got to assume, hey, they've got a legitimate case for the playoff, right? Hard not to feel that way. But let me give you the rest of their schedule after that. They could be 4-0 with wins at Indiana, at Notre Dame. The rest of their schedule is Temple, UCF, who's lost Dylan Gabriel and a couple of games, Navy, Tulane, Tulsa, South Florida, SMU, East Carolina. That ain't doing much for anybody. You've got to hope that Notre Dame is one of the better teams of the country, so that you have a top 15 win, and you've got to hope also that Indiana ends up being one of the better teams in the Big Ten. Right now, that seems questionable. On the other hand, I'm looking at BYU going, that's the potential party crasher, because their schedule allows for a lot of quality wins in the Power Five. Right now, Cincinnati only would have two Power Five wins the entire season. Two. But BYU already has three of them. BYU has swept the Pac-12. They beat Arizona, Utah, and Arizona State, and Utah and ASU were both ranked. So BYU has three Power Five wins already, two of which have come against ranked opponents. They have USF and Utah State after that, and then they get Boise State. As we know, Boise State losing that game on the blue turf on Saturday night when me and Bogish were there to Oklahoma State have already suffered two losses as well. So tough to get too much credit for beating Boise State. But BYU also gets Baylor, Washington State, and Virginia in October, then wraps up with USC. Look, if BYU beats five Pac-12 teams, including USC, and two of them minimum are ranked opponents, they already have two ranked wins over Utah and Arizona State, and they beat Baylor and Boise State as well, a 12-0 BYU team that has multiple ranked wins, five Pac-12 victories, beats USC and Boise State as well, that's a better resume. Right now, they're ranked 15th in the country. Keep an eye on the Cougs. They lost Zach Wilson, but they're balling right now, and they have actually the best chance at crashing the college football playoff party.
When we come back on the show, Tom Brady's dad, no love lost for Bill Belichick. We've got his quotes next.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.